You're listening to That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network. And Ann D. Kofsky joins me this morning. She's an editor at Berman House Publishers. She is also the author and illustrator of more than 30 of her own books, including PJ Library Selections, Kayla and Kugel's Almost Perfect Passover, which I have, Noah's Swimathon, and Shabbat Shalom Hey. Ann's writing and art have also been featured in the Washington Times, the Philadelphia Inquirer, Jewish Action Magazine, Mishpacha Magazine, and Hadassah Magazine. Previous to her position at Berman House, Ann was an adjunct professor of art at Stern College for Women. Ann lives in West Hempstead, New York, with her husband and three children, and she joins us this morning. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely my pleasure. And I want you to know before I do the whole, I want to get the fangirl out of the way, if you don't mind. I hope that's okay. Huge fan to the point where I had four of your books out on my counter and my youngest comes home and she goes, "Are these for me?" And I said,
"How old's your youngest?"
She's almost 10. And as the youngest of six, likes to claim things that aren't hers. And I said, no, those are mommy's. Hands off. So,
well, I'm glad I have a 10-year-old fan. I'm glad I have you as a fan. Thank you.
No, absolutely. My pleasure. You know, you can tell talent where talent exists. And my God, are you talented? So,
thank you.
So, no, my pleasure. So there are a bunch of things that we need to talk about. But most specifically is how this interview came to be. And I do need to credit a number of very, shall we say, vocal women and advocates and doers who use social media for the good. And that includes Bethany Shondark, who happened to tweet out your post, which explained that you had an event, a meet and greet coming up at Eichler's in Borough Park this Sunday, and that you were concerned that people would not show up. Tell us why.
So thanks for asking, and thank you to Bethany. Before I say that, I do want to, can I chime in with an Ahamakom Yenachem?
Yes, of course.
Anachem Yenachem etchem betel sha'ar leitzion v'yushalayim.
Amen. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm sorry to hear that she passed.
Thank you.
But to answer your question, which is much more, it's why I'm here, so
right.
I can answer the question. So, yes, I'm having a signing at Eichler Shudeika in Borough Park this Sunday, from 2:30 to 4:30, which is very exciting. And I'm signing my book, Judah Maccabee Goes to the Doctor, which is about vaccines. And I'm signing the Sarah Built a School book, which is about Sarah Schnerer. And Eichler's has been wonderful and warm and welcoming, and they were very kind. They offered to advertise the event, which is always very exciting for an author. We scrounge around for free press and
right.
advertising. So they were going to call the local newspapers in Borough Park and advertise the event. Thank you very much. So I sent them a flyer. And, of course, as an author, you put your photo on the flyer because people like to connect to real people when they're considering books.
Absolutely.
They like to see the author. That's why a lot of book covers put the author on the jacket. You know, you want to have a connection with the writer or the artist. And they got it, and they said, "Oh, we need a faceless flyer. Please take your photo off because the papers don't accept advertising with women's pictures in it." And I said, "No, thank you," which was really hard.
Right.
Because I am so wired to accept free media and press, because that's the only way that you're successful, to get your books out there. You know, you could write a wonderful book, but if no one reads it, that's just not fun. And I said, "No, it's Ad Kan." I put a
right.
stake in the ground and said, "Okay, the event will be a little successful. I'll sell some less books, but I can't disappear."
Right.
And I have disappeared in the past. You mentioned that I have written for Mishpacha magazine, and they've profiled me. But it felt bad, and I don't want to feel bad anymore.
Good for you.
So I did it, and I felt bad in a different way. Then I felt amazing because I posted on Facebook. I post on Facebook every day. Big deal, right? So I post on Facebook, "Hey, guys, can you help me out? I'm worried no one's going to come to this event because I refuse to take these ads. Could you please tag your friends who live in Brooklyn?" Because I figured, you know, five people will share it, five more people will show up, and I won't just be standing there with my kids and, you know, hear crickets. But it went crazy. It went, like you said, Bethany shared it, and you saw it, and it really got into a lot of places, and now this exceeds any advertising Eichler's could have purchased because people came to support me, and that's so meaningful.
As we like to say, it went viral.
It went viral. And it meant so much to know that I'm not the only one out there feeling bad about this.
Right. Absolutely.
You know? And because everybody says everybody wants this, and that's why the papers do it. But I'm not sure everybody wants it if everybody was pouncing on my very simple post, you know?
Right. Well, I think that, first of all, to call it a simple post is almost like it's not giving you credit.
Give me credit.
It was a modest and respectful post. It wasn't a shame on X community for doing X, Y, and Z. It wasn't that. It wasn't that at all. You were not.
How dare you?
Correct. There was no soapbox under your feet at the moment that you wrote that Facebook post.
Right.
There was you speaking clearly and honestly and just saying, help me out. And I often find when you're turning to the social media world and you use it for good, it's amazing the good that you receive in return. And of course, there's plenty of bad out there. I joke that social media and the internet, you can use your powers for good or you can use your powers for evil. But
right,
when you,
just like everything else,
exactly,
right?
You can. Mm-hmm. But when you use it for good, it is an amazing thing, the good that you can receive in return.
It was overwhelming, and I'm so grateful to everybody who just clicked because it helped so much. I mean, we'll see on Sunday who's there, and I hope I get to say hello to a lot of the people who helped me and thank them in person.
No, I have a feeling that you will. I also want to mention that Lahav Harkov from the Jerusalem Post, when I had let Bethany know, actually, I had, as soon as you agreed to join me on the show, which I truly appreciated, I tweeted back to Bethany letting her know that as a result of her post, I was now aware of a situation that, frankly, I haven't been aware of because I haven't been on social media in a week and a half due to obvious personal circumstances.
Right.
And so now I was aware of the situation, and I had invited you on, and you were joining me. And so she was thrilled, and Lahav Harko from the Jerusalem Post, who clearly had been keeping an eye on this also, she was thrilled, and so were a number of people. And by the way, just as a side point, so were men. There were plenty of men. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
We should also, besides the fact that we're not sitting here pointing fingers, we should also make it clear that this is not a men versus women issue.
It's, no, absolutely.
Right.
It everybody gets hurt by these restrictions,
right.
in
right.
my opinion, because, okay, I can advertise. And let's say I didn't have this amazing social media response, or I didn't think to post on Facebook, and nobody comes to my event. Guess what happens? I don't sell books. Eichler's doesn't sell books.
Right.
Eichler's is owned by a man.
Right.
So he's not going to make money.
Right.
Now, when he has less money, he's going to say, I'm not going to invite other authors. These events don't work. And some of those authors will be men.
Correct.
Okay, and I could keep going.
Right.
You know,
it's
and that
a trickle
means
down.
Will have money, and they'll have to and they'll be able to offer less to their customers, and the customers will have less money. It's just like when we're in a community, you know, when all boats rise, we all rise.
Amen.
But
absolutely.
If I sink, everyone's going to sink too. We all impact each other. So, you know, I just said it in a very monetary way, how Eichler's won't make money if I won't make money. But it also affects us culturally and spiritually. There's a tremendous loss when women are gone to both men and women.
You're absolutely right. And I couldn't have put it better myself. You're listening to That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network. And author and illustrator Ann D. Kofsky joins us this morning. She has an upcoming event this Sunday from 2:30 to 4:30 at the Eichler's in Borough Park, located at 5004 13th Avenue in Brooklyn. That's 5004 13th Avenue in Brooklyn. You can also find Ann online. You can go to annkofsky.com, and you can also go to, you're also on Twitter at Jewish Art by Ann.
And on Instagram.
And on Instagram. Right. Jewish Art by Ann. So now let's talk for a second about the selections that are being featured this Sunday, including the ever amazing Judah Maccabee Goes to the Doctor.
Judah Maccabee is coming to Borough Park.
Yes.
Not even Hanukkah.
Correct. Judah Maccabee
First of all, let's emphasize it's Borough Park store, not Flatbush store.
Right.
I've had a lot of people being confused. but yeah, Judah Maccabee is a story I wrote pre-measles about 2 years ago because I got angry. I had heard a story about a school who had been trying to get themselves together and make sure all the kids' vaccinations forms were in order. And there was one family that wasn't complying with school policy and challenging them and saying, we will not vaccinate. And they were claiming religious exemption. This is the first time I ever heard of this. And I was so confused, because how could you say, because I'm from and Jewish, I will not vaccinate? To me, that is completely counterintuitive to what our Torah actually teaches us.
Right.
And then the family sued the school. And then I got really angry. So I said, so there, I shall write a children's book to counter this crazy idea that Torah and vaccination don't go together hand in hand, because of course they do. Shmores Nafshecha, we're all very familiar with that. So I wrote this book, Judah Maccabee Goes to the Doctor, and it's about a little boy who's very scared to get his shot. But Judah Maccabee is his hero, and then his bubby and his father tell him that, no, a vaccine is just like a shield. It protects us. And not only that, your little sister Hannah, she can't get a shot yet, so you'll protect her if you get the shot.
Mm.
And because he loves his little sister, he gets brave, and he gets his shot. So it's a story of overcoming fear as well. And it's not for anti-vaxxers. It's for people who vax, people who do vaccinate, to share with their kids and help them understand why it works and what our values are.
Well, I would tell you that if we could convince the anti-vaxxers with the simple yet poignant message that you just articulated, with a children's book, you know, that would go a long way.
It would save the world.
It really would save the world. Correct, because I think that's such an important point, is that Judah is, you know, he's being told it's not just about you, it's about your sister. And mm-hmm. I think that is such an important point that we're not focusing enough on when we're talking about vaccinations. And so the fact that you explain it to children, to me, makes this even more impressive, because your point is basically, if we can explain it to a kid, we should be able to explain it to an adult.
Yes. So it's a chizuk book. It's to strengthen all of us to better understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, and why we care about this. And it's because we care about ourselves, but it's also because we care about others, just like you so nicely said.
But I also do not want to overlook the fact that the doctor in this book is a minority. And
I really learned from my day job. I'm an editor at Behrman House Publishers, and we really struggle to have all Jewish people represented in the book. I mean, she's not necessarily Jewish in the story, but to just when a kid opens a book, that they should see themselves or see that they're a part of it. And there's more and more Jewish people that look all different flavors.
Right.
You know, and we're all created B'Tselem Elokim, so
right.
They should all be in there.
I hear you completely. And let's talk about Sarah Builds a School.
Sarah Builds a School, I'm very proud of. I co-wrote that with Dr. Leslie Ginsburg Klein. And it's a story about how Sarah Schnerer, which I always say wrong. Did I say it right this time?
I don't know. I call her Schnerer also, but right.
Who, of course, innovated and began the Beis Yaakov system and ultimately, you know, Torah education for women. And she, without her, none of us would know nothing, you
Correct.
Know? And I'm not even sure Judaism would still be here today.
Mm.
Because if you lose half the population, if you lose all the women and there's no more Jewish mommies, what do we have left?
That's right.
Not so much.
That's right.
And her story is just remarkable, and it starts with her as a young girl in school being teased, because she was. We have this from her journals. You know, Leslie, the reason I collaborated with Leslie Klein is she did her PhD on the Beis Yaakov movement, so she knows this material. She's researched it all very, very carefully and deeply. And Sarah Schnerer wrote about how she was teased in school for being a little tzaddikas. She was such a goody-goody. So, you know, how amazing for our daughters to read about this heroine who got bullied.
Right.
You know, and overcame that. And that was just her first challenge as a young girl. But she got bullied after that, too, because she had a new idea and she was advocating for change. And, oh, my goodness. Of course, you get pushback for such things.
Correct.
And she did, and she overcame it, and now we are all the beneficiaries of her amazing strength.
And she certainly would have had her face in publications as well. So,
I really personally think that's true.
Right.
I hesitate to read people who I've never met mind.
I hear that. I hear
that. And you know what? There are some women who prefer staying hidden, and that's completely okay.
Right, that's their choice.
That's, everybody has different cojos and different preferences. You know, Sarah can be in the tent, and Tavora can be under the palm tree.
I hear you.
Torah is amazing, and there are all flavors of women, and they present all. What's amazing that I love about Torah, many things, but that's one, that it shows women who are judges and women who are in the tent and women who are by the sea with Miriam and, you know, women who are in the field like Ruth. And there's all types of ways to connect to Hashem, and we're allowed to take all these different paths.
What an incredible message of positivity. I mean, unfortunately, we're out of time, though. I could speak to you forever. Thank you. I do want to also mention Creation Colors, which is not only a beautiful book, but something that very much reminds me of Eric Carle. So, and I hope you take that as a compliment, because I don't think...
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think there's a bigger compliment out there.
Honored. to be compared to him.
It tells
the story of Bracious with these paper cuts that I did, and I'm really, really proud of it. The artwork is
stunning. The artwork is stunning.
I was going to say, I think it's the best artwork I've ever made, so I'm really personally proud of it.
It's absolutely stunning. So I'm truly in awe of your work, and I certainly appreciate the art. I mean, it just brings full circle. My mother was an art historian and a curator, so there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there is there's a lot of poignancy to the fact that you're on today. For a number of reasons, but I would tell you that I think my mom would be really, really happy with this interview.
Thank you. I'm honored by that so much.
Well, I want to make sure that everyone shows up. Everyone, their mother, their father, and all their kids show up to Eichler's of Borough Park. Again, it's this Sunday for the meet and greet with Ann Kopsky from 2:30 to 4:30. Eichler's in Borough Park is located at 5004. That's 5004 13th Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. Please go out, make sure to show Ann support, and guess what? Buy some amazing books. It'll totally be worth it. Again, you can find Ann on Instagram, Jewish Art by Ann. You can find her on Twitter, and of course at annkofsky.com. Ann, thank you so much for your time, and absolute hatzlacha this Sunday.
Thank you so much, Miriam. I really appreciate this. Is another way that's really helping, and I so appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure.